Dr. Anthea Cerasetto, who is the Chief Executive Officer of the Governing Body Foundation. Just by word of explanation, the Governing Body Foundation is a service organization founded in 1997, and that was done in order to promote sound governance in South African public schools. Dr. Cerasetto, you are a brave lady who's not afraid of a challenge.
Good afternoon. Well, I've been in the schooling business for a very long time, so it's a sector I know well.
You know well. Okay. Well, I don't think any of us expected to be living through the times that we're living through now. And normally I would imagine that there are enough challenges, but now the challenges must be triple or if not quadrupled. You're going to talk to us today about measures that have been put in place to protect learners and educators who are going back to school.
Yes, I can talk about those. Of course, the measures really must be in line with the national disaster regulation measures, which apply to all the sectors that are now open, which would include your sector and the ones that have just recently opened, as well as the occupational health and safety regulations also recently promulgated, which clearly explain the protective equipment that must be in place. There will be two masks provided for each child, a hygiene package, sanitizers in classrooms, at school, screening of temperatures as they enter school, the daily sanitizing of classrooms and various other school facilities. So the measures that are in plan for school are not different from other workplaces, except it is more challenging because we will eventually be dealing with many, many children in one relatively small space. But how the schools are going to manage that, the social distancing,
sure,
regulations are problematic in our schools where the classrooms are small. So provinces are working on plans. Today we had a Gauteng meeting with the head of education in Gauteng, and scenarios were talked about. You know, how can we achieve the distancing, especially when school starts with the first two grades, grade 7 and grade 12. It could be manageable. I can see how schools could manage it when one grade returns. It becomes more problematic when we have more grades returning. So I do believe the measures are known, and the education departments are going to be very circumspect before they allow anybody back, because there will be legal liability for the heads of department if they admit people into the workplace before it is ready. So I'm fairly assured that schools won't begin until it is safe enough, first for the staff and then in due course for the learners.
I was thinking you've got to balance so many different stakeholders.
As much as it will be anyway. Because we've still got, you know, transport and those issues which are beyond the control of schools.
Yes, 100%. And then, of course, teachers' unions, which are powerful and clearly want to look after their members as well. There's so many competing interests here. This is job impossible. Must say, I watched our Minister of Education's speech on television the other night, Angie Motshekga. I've got to tell you something. I don't count myself as too stupid, but I couldn't understand a word of what she was saying in terms of I did not see a clear, definitive plan coming out from what she said. Did you guys in your organization find it any more enlightening than I did?
Look, it was not a very clear speech. We did receive a copy, a transcript of it, so we were able to read it and gather the information from that transcript. Also, we have been in consultations with her, so we've engaged in the content. So much of it we did know. But many questions still remain unanswered, and one of those is what's going to happen to the staff over 60, where they've said that those people should be able to work from home. And that's really problematic because I'm not sure how a grade one teacher can work from home remotely with young children when that happens. So we don't have clear rules. We're on the same page actually as the unions. They're asking the same key questions, and other staff with so-called comorbidities, proof that they have them, then what do we do with them? Then what do we do with the children who need to be taught by them? Where are we getting the substitutes? Who's going to pay for them? So those questions which, in fact, the journalist present asked some of the questions which we would also want answers to. I think the real difficulty is that the Education Department is working in a constantly changing knowledge environment. Every day, different knowledge drives decisions. So as we learn more about how children are affected by COVID, which apparently they're not as susceptible to it, and nor are they as likely to transmit it as adults. You know, there's new scientific information coming, and I think that the department is caught in the fluidity of this information, what shall we say, overload. I think somebody called it an infodemic, because it's every day something's new, and they have to adjust their plans in terms of what's new. And I think the reason why she was somewhat vague is that there is no certainty, and whatever plan the department comes up with has to be approved by this National Command Council. But just as they're almost ready with a plan, maybe something new emerges. And, of course, there's demand, or what shall we call it, a groundswell of opinion that we should get the economy going again. We need to get children into school because people need to go to work and we need care. So the whole thing is very much interlinked.
Yeah, I hear you loud and clear. There's so much more to discuss with you. I think we're going to have to get you back. I wanted your opinion on private schools, but we have run out of time. Dr. Anthea Sarasota, thank you so much for speaking to us here on 101.9 High FM.